Shalom to all. Today's episode of Basar Daf Kuf Mem Tesa. We are starting about the fourth line with the words Yibay Lahu, and today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Marsh Merim Sarah Basi Yaakov Moshe. Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. Now we're discussing a number of different cases where Shchemira gave away all of his nechassim and then he didn't die. He lived. He got better. The question is, do his nechassim come back to him? So we have another case Yibay Lahu. That's the following question: Machar Kol Nechassav Mahu. Let's say he sold all his nechassim. He didn't give them away, but he sold them and then he got better. Do we say that he gets them back because the only reason why he sold them is due to the fact he thought he was going to die, but since he didn't die, he gets them back, or since he sold them? And it means he is retaining something for himself because he's getting money in exchange, so that wouldn't fit under matnas chimera, and he wouldn't get them back even though he got better. So Rav Yehuda Maravi tells us, im amad eino chazer, if he gets better, they do not come back to him. Vizim no Rav Yehuda Marav, sometimes Rav Yehuda said b'shem Rav, im amad chazer, that if he gets better, they do come back to him. Evali pligi, these are not contradictory. Had isnu lezuzi beinayu, had parinu b'chayvai. When it says that he could take his nechassim back when he gets better, that's referring to where he has the money in his hand. Then it's obvious that he only sold them because he thought he was going to die, because he kept the money, and since he didn't die, he could take them back. Whereas when it says that he doesn't get them back, that's referring to where he took the money and he paid off a chayv, he paid off a debt with it. There it's obvious that he sold an nechassim because he wanted to pay off the debt, not because he thought he was going to die, and therefore he doesn't get them back if he lives. We continue, Yibay Lahu, they ask the following question, Shchiv Meira Shahoyde Mahu. Let's say Shchiv Meira admitted that this property or this money belongs to somebody else. We had assumed the whole time that it belonged to him, and all of a sudden on his deathbed he says, everyone, you should know that this money or this property belongs to that guy. Do we believe him and it's like a matna Shchiv Meira and we're going to give that thing to that person? Or maybe he's just trying to hide some of his wealth by claiming that it really belongs to somebody else. However, it doesn't. It really belongs to him. So my answer is Tashma, we have a raya to Isser Giyra, Isser the Ger. And let's just pause and explain who this fellow was. Now, we had mentioned earlier, very briefly, in the course of one of our discussions, that Shmuel's daughters were kidnapped. And this Isser fellow was one of the kidnappers. He violated one of Shmuel's daughters, and she conceived due to that. Later on, the child born was called Rav Mari, and that's what often we find throughout the Gemara, that he's called Rav Mari Bar Rachel, after his mother, not after his father. And after Shmuel's daughter conceived, Isser became a Ger. So that's why he's called Isser Giyra. Now, what's the story with him? He had 12,000 zuz deposited by Rava. Now, Rav Mari, Isser Gera's son, as we just explained, his conception was not Begdusha, the father wasn't Jewish. It was only once he was born that it was Begdusha that the father Isser had become Jewish. And Bei Rav Hava, this Rav Mari was learning the Beis Medrash, and Isser became a Shchiv Meira, he was about to die. Amar Rava, Rava commented, Rav Mari Luhani Zuzi, how would Rav Mari possibly be able to acquire those zuzim that his biological father has? Remember, Isser Gera is Rav Mari's biological father, but not his halachic father. And that means that once Isser dies, his nechassim are technically hefker because he doesn't have any yarshim, and since Rav is the one holding on to them because they were deposited by him, he should be able to acquire them. So he commented out loud in the Beis Medrash, how would Rav Mari be able to get them? If Yerusha, if you want to say yarshins them, well, we just said, la bar Yerushahu, he doesn't yarshin his father because halachically it's not really his father. Even Matana, if you want to say he's going to give it to him as a gift, well, Matna Shchimera ki Yerusha Shavu Rabbanon. As we explained previously, Matna Shchimera is like Yerusha because since the Matana, this gift, is only chal after the person dies, that's just like Yerusha, which is chal only after the person dies. And therefore, kol hecha the isa b'Yerusha isa matana. Anyone who's in the parsha of Yerusha, he's in the parsha of matna shchimera. But kol hecha the lesa b'Yerusha lesa matana. Anyone who's not involved in Yerusha isn't involved in matana either. So as Isser is not able to give all this money to Rav Mari by way of matna shchimera, and even mashicha, if you want to say he's going to do a mashicha, well, lesa nuigabe, they're not by him, they're by me, not by Rav Mari. And iba chalipin, if you want to say he's going to do a kinyan chalipin, which is often done by kinyan soder, where the kerchief is picked up and that causes an acquisition of something else, well, it might be a nikkun of chalipin. Coins can't be acquired through chalipin. And yagav karka, if you want to say that Isser is going to transfer this money to Rav Mari by way of karka, namely that he's going to be makna a piece of karka to him, and along with that, he's going to be able to acquire these metaltal and this money, which would technically work. Well, the catch is, lesle aro, this Isser doesn't have any property to be able to do this. And even Mamad Shloshton, if you want to say he's going to do it by way of Mamad Shloshton, which we already said is when we have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Reuven is owed money by Shimon, and he wants Shimon to give it to Levi, he's able to simply verbalize, Shimon, I want you to give it to Levi, and that's automatically a kinyan. And maybe that's what Isser is going to do. Well, Ishalachli, if he sends for me to come, Loya Zilna, I'm not going to go, so we're not going to be able to do Mamad Shloshton. However, Maskel Rav Ikav Rehder Avami, Rav Ikav Rehder Avami asked Rava, Amai, why are we going to have an issue? V'loy di Isser da'alein zuzi d'Rav Mari ninhu, why doesn't Isser just admit, why doesn't he do this hoida'a that this money belongs to Rav Mari, v'loik ninhu b'idisa? And Rav Mari will be able to acquire them through this hoida'a of Isser. And now the hachi, in the meantime, nafag haidisa mei Isser, now after the suggestion was made in the Beis Medrash, somehow it reached the ears of Isser, and he actually did do so. And what happened? Adahachi, in the meantime, nafag haidisa mei Isser, a notice or a message came from the house of Isser that he did do this haidisa, he did this admission that this money belongs to Rav Mari, and that way Rav is not able to keep it. And if Rava was makbid about this, Amar, he said, you're teaching tainus to other people, and you're making me lose out, because I would have gotten this money when Isser died, but now that I heard about this thing that was mentioned in the Beis Medrash, I lost out on this money. Either which way, we see from here that if Shchiv Meira is Maida, he admits that this money that you thought was mine really belongs to that guy, so it's actually acquired by that fellow. Now, on the Kuf Mem Tesa on the base on the top, there's really supposed supposed to be two dots over here because it's a quote of the Mishnah. Shir karkal kol shumat nosei kayemes. We had said that if the shchimera gave away all of his property, but he left a little bit of karkal left over, so then even if he lives, he gets better, his matana is valid because by the fact that he left a little bit of karkal over, that showed that he wasn't trying to give it away as a matna shchimera. He didn't think that he was going to die. He was just giving over a regular matana. Now the Gemara asks, "Bagama kol shehu? How much is this karkal kol shu that has to be left over?" So Rav Yehuda Maravi tells us, "Karkal kedei parnas hasai." It has to be that he leaves over enough karkal that he'd be able to support himself if he lives. Now Rav Yehuda Bar Abba Amar, he tells us, adding on to this, "Metaltan kedei parnas hasai." Even if he leaves over enough metaltal and movable objects, it would be sufficient to support him. If he lives, then we would say matnas kayamenes, and it's not considered a matnas shchemera. Now Rav Zera comments on this, "Kam mechavlan shmeitzah desabi." How fitting or precise are the memories from these elders? Because karka time am I, why is it that this is the amount of karka that has to be left over, is the ikai samichale. If he lives, he stands up, he gets better, and he doesn't die, he'd be able to rely on it, that's what he would be able to support himself from. And metaltalinami, the metaltalin as well, ikai samichalevayu, if he gets better and he doesn't die, he's able to rely on those metaltalin, and that's the way he could support himself. So this is a great explanation, says Reb Zera. However, Maskel Reb Yosef, Yosef asked on this, umai kavanto, what exactly is so fitting or precise about this? Mandar metaltalin, according to the one who said that he can even leave over metaltalin, well, the problem with that is karka tanan. The Mishnah says karka and not metaltalin, and Mandamar Kedei Parnas Hasai, the one that explained that he has to leave over enough to support himself if he lives, well, kol shehu tanan. The Mishnah used the word kol shehu, which means just a little bit, and that's far less than Kedei Parnas Hasai. However, Amalei Abai asked on both of these points of Rav Yosef. The first question is v'chol hechad tani karka, karka dafka. Anytime we say the word karka, it means it has to be karka, it has to be property, and it can't be metaltalin. Well, tanan, we have a Mishnah that says hakasav kol nechasav la'avdai. If a person writes over all of his possessions to his eved, yotzei ben chayrin, that eved goes free because included in his possessions is his eved, so he's basically saying, I'm setting you free, and all of his possessions go to his eved. Shear karka kol shehu, but if he left over a little bit of karka, lo yotzei ben chayrin, then the eved does not go free, because we understand that what karka is he leaving over? The eved. An eved is considered karka. Rav Shimon argues and says, lo oilmu ben chayrin, the eved always would go free, ad shiyomar, until the master says beferosh in the shtar, kol nechasayin esun lepleni avdi, all my possessions are given to this fellow, my eved, chutz me'echad meriba shebehen, except for 1/10,000th of them, and we understand that 1/10,000th that he's not giving to his eved is the eved himself, so the eved doesn't go free. Now Kufnun Amud Aleph on the top, Vam Rav Din Bar Yosef, Am Rav Elazar, Rav Din Bar Yosef said b'shem Rav Elazar, also metaltalin shiur etzel eved. The Chacham established that metaltalin is also considered a shiur by an eved, meaning when he's writing the shtar that he's giving all of his possessions to his eved, except for metaltalin, the eved itself could be considered those metaltalin, and the eved wouldn't go free. However, v'lasu metaltalin shiur etzel ksuba, they didn't say that metaltalin is considered a shiur by ksuba. And this is regarding a din that we had earlier, if a shchiv meira was giving away all of his possessions, and he gave everything to his children, but left a little bit of property for his wife, and his wife accepted that, and she didn't say anything about her ksuba. So he said she's meichel on her ksuba, and she's not able to collect the rest of it from those properties that were given to the yarshim. And what we're saying over here is that loyosu metaltalin shiur etzel ksuba, that if the husband had given her a little bit of metaltalin, not some property, but metaltalin, that's not considered a shiur, and that means that she's not meichel on her ksuba. Now, bottom line, what do we see from this Mishnah? That even though Mishnah says beferush, shiur karka kol shehu, the eved's not going to go free, nonetheless, we explain that to mean that it's even including metaltalin. So karka is lav dafka, it could also include metaltalin. Kasha and Yurav Yosef. And the answer to that is hasam over there, but didn't udloy lesnei karka? Really, the Mishnah did not have to teach karka. It didn't have to say shir karka kol shehu. It could have also said shir metaltalin. V'ayitani reisha, it's just that since the reisha of the Mishnah mentions karka, the seifa also mentions karka. What does the reisha say? Rabbi Kiva tells us, karka kol shehu, even if a person has the smallest bit of karka, chayevs bepeya, it's chayev and peya, ubikurim, he has to take bikurim from the fruits that grow there, v'lichtavayli and prosbul. One could write a prosbul on this, and one could also acquire nechasim she'elam achrayis, meaning metaltalin, along with this property, as long as the kinyan of kesef shtar chazaka is done, and mishumachi because of that. Once again, since the reisha says karka, katani karka, that's why the seifa says karka as well. And therefore, that mishnah is not a question, whereas usually, when a mishnah says karka, it is karka dafka. Now, by asking on the second point of Rav Yosef, v'chol heichad tani kol shehu, lesli shira, anytime a mishnah says kol shehu, it can't mean that there's a shir. V'atanan, we have a mishnah tells us, Rav Dyson Merkin Zamir, Rav Dyson Merkin tells us, chamesh v'chilis gezuzais, mana upras, chavis breishis hagez. If we have five sheep, that when they're shorn, each one produces a mana and a half, which is a certain weight of wool, so they're chavin breishis hagez. We know that one of the matnas kahuna, one of the things that have to be given to a kayin, is the first shearings of the sheep. Rav Dyson Merkin is saying that there's a certain minimum to this. It's only if a person's shearing five sheep, and each one of them produces one and a half mana of wool, so then that has to be given to a kayin. Whereas a chamer and the cham argue, and they say, chamesh v'chilis gezuzais kol shehain, it's five sheep being shorn, even a kol shehain. V'amrina, and we explain, v'kama kol shehain, how much is this kol shehain of the chachamim? Amaravi tells us, manu pras, it's collectively a whole mana and a half from all five sheep together, not each one individually, but all of them together, as long as they all give a fifth of this amount, meaning each one of these five sheep has to give a fifth of this amount, so all together we have the total. total amount. As we see very clearly from here, that even though the Lashon of the Mishnah is Kol Shehein, there's a minimum shear in Shitas Rabbanon. So the Lashon of Kol Shehein could mean that there's a particular shear that one has to keep to and not less than that. And this is why Rav Yosef answers, Hasam over there, but then who deloyless ni Kol Shehu? Really, Mishnah did not have to use the word Kol Shehu. Va'ayu the Amr Tanakama, Shiur Rabba, it's just that since the Tanakama, Rav Dais ben Hyrcanus, said a very large shear that each sheep itself has to produce a mon and a half of wool, Amr Iunami Shiur Zutra, and the Chamim, they hold a very small shear that altogether the sheep only have to produce a mon and a half, Karila Kol Shehu, that's why they're just calling it a Kol Shehu, but they don't mean literally the tiniest amount, they just mean a much smaller amount than Rav Dais ben Hyrcanus was talking about. As this question of Abayis as well was pushed away. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow, continuing to talk about gift giving. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.